Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, this year's ballot will take some time to go through. Besides the gubernatorial and Senate race, there are congressional races, local races, and numerous other local issues. Add to that the 12 state constitutional amendments. And remember that some of those amendments are bundled together, so you need to read through it to make sure you know what you're voting for. We're joined now by Tim Serio, Governor Rick Scott's former general counsel and a member of the Constitutional Revision Commission. That's the group that meets every 20 years to propose amendments for the voters to choose from. And he joins us now from the studios of WFSU in Tallahassee. Tim Serio, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lewis. Thanks for having me back.
So are you content with the dozen amendments that did make it to the November ballot?
I am. I think that it's been a good process. I think the CRC, which, as you know, is only probably I think we have eight of our amendments are on the ballot. The remaining came from the legislature or citizen initiative. But I think it's a good process. We have gone through a judicial review. The Supreme Court reviewed our work, and I believe one of them was taken off the ballot. But the remainder are on, and we'll see what the voters have to say.
So take us back to – I mean this was a process that took almost a year basically. Lots of meetings,
right.
Public meetings, making sure that you hear from the citizens. Really your experience overall and some of the things that you saw during that time.
It was an amazing experience. It was great to get around the state a couple of different times, hear from the people of Florida, very, very passionate about their issues. We have a very well informed and engaged population here in Florida, and a very vocal one. And I think we heard from divergent interests, a lot of input. A lot of ideas, it's very difficult. I think we had over 1,000 proposals that were submitted. I think almost every proposal that came forward represents some type of citizen input, even though most of them were sort of refashioned and rewritten and proposed by commissioners. But all of this arose out of a great amount of public input, and I'm just really, really proud to be a part of it. It's something that I'll remember for many, many years.
Were there any concerns about the fact that there is going to be a lot on the ballot?
Yeah. I mean, you said it yourself in your intro that the ballot is going to take some time to go through, and that's absolutely true. And part of the issue that we struggle with and that the CRC 20 years ago struggled with and the CRC 40 years ago struggled with is how do we present these issues to the voters? And, you know, and you had mentioned the bundling, and part of the reason was if you can take concepts – that are arguably similar and combine them, it will you know promote ballot brevity to the extent we can in any way call this ballot somewhat brief and also hopefully prevent voter fatigue. So that's why we did what we did. I know there's been a lot of interest in that, and I'll be honest, there's a little bit of misinformation out there about the bundling, and that's why I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about it.
I mean, you kind of touched on it. So you try to figure out how to bundle different amendments together that would
right.
be similar. So let's look at like one, and you know, this is the one that really has probably gotten the most attention, which was Amendment 9.
Yep.
Banning e-cigarettes indoors and ending offshore oil drilling. So,
right.
I mean, people are going to say, wait a second. How are they similar?
So I don't want to sound flip about this, but the easy answer is okay. It's clean air, clean water. People care about being in a smoke-free environment. People want clean water. The truth of the matter is, we really wrestled with it, and we were trying to promote a shorter ballot, and these were both wildly, wildly popular initiatives. They pulled apparently, and we've got third-party information. They pulled through the roof. So generally our approach to bundling was, okay, what we don't want to be accused of is trying to combine something that's clearly unpopular or something that barely passed the CRC with something very popular. I would say I shouldn't have been surprised just because of the concepts, but because I knew how popular both of those initiatives were, I think at the time me and many other folks on the CRC didn't see any problem with combining them.
Were there any of the bundles, the bundled amendments that you felt those don't work?
Not at the time, no, and still I don't. I want to be careful how I say this. One thing that you need to keep in mind is simply because something is wildly popular with the electorate or probably will be popular does not mean that there are not unhappy special interests. And there are and I'm not blaming them. I mean they're in an industry and they have a right to protect their industry. But there are folks that the only way they can attack, because these are some of these are very popular concepts, is to attack the process.
You talked about some misinformation out there on the
right.
bundling. So help us understand what is the misinformation? What are we getting wrong?
So there's a narrative out there, and I'm not saying it's been this outlet, but several media outlets, and they've gotten some bad information, have written that the CRC, in essence, sort of pulled a fast one, or they're bundling and they're doing something that they should not have done. And nobody, you know, a lot of what we did as the CRC this year, we tried to take from the processes and procedures of 20 years ago and 40 years ago. This year, and again, to hopefully promote ballot brevity, at least to some extent, and prevent some voter fatigue, we bundled 22 proposals into what are now 8 proposed amendments. 20 years ago, that CRC, and I think many folks think, including me, I mean, that CRC did a great job. They bundled 36 proposals into 9 amendments. That's gotten very little reporting. And I even read an op-ed by a member of that CRC 20 years ago who was critical of the process. And I thought, okay, at some point he'll mention that they did the same thing. He never did. So again, I think that the voters are smart. They'll read through these proposals. They'll vote them up or down. I just hope that if they don't like how something was combined, that's fine. If they think a concept doesn't belong in the Constitution, that's fine. I just hope people just don't vote no because they've heard that the process was somehow inappropriate.
I want to go to another amendment that's also a bundled package, Amendment 6.
Sure.
This one includes
yep.
Marcy's Law. This was a big one for you.
And very near and dear to my heart.
the other one was raising the retirement age of judges
right.
from 70 to 75. I can sort of understand the comparison, but you explain to us why you think these two should be put together.
Sure. So Marcy's Law obviously impacts how the administration of justice and victims' participation in the justice system, and that we need to ensure that they have access and, where appropriate, an opportunity to be heard and always an opportunity to be informed of their case. The idea is, again, to try and promote some ballot brevity. How can we combine like concepts? All of these proposals in Amendment 6 had to do with the judiciary. The judges are in charge of enforcing the requisites of Marcy's Law, making sure that these victims have access, that their family members have access. So that's why to us at the time it made sense to combine it with the retirement ages of judges and then also the judge's role in evaluating evidence. Basically, there's been a lot of talk, and primarily in legal communities, about state agencies and state bureaucracies. Should those bureaucracies, when they make decisions that impact the people of Florida, should they be entitled to some type of deference in their interpretation of the law, or should a judge be able to come in afterward and fairly say, okay, we think the agency got it wrong here, without having to defer to the agency unless their decision was clearly erroneous? And that's why it made sense, we believe, to combine it with these other two provisions that dealt with the judiciary.
So let's talk about – I want to dig into Marcy's Law a little bit again.
Sure.
As you said, very close to you, very dear to your heart. But
yep.
you know there's opposition to this. A lot of money has come in and supported this, but there's been opposition, and I want to get your
sure.
take on this. One was Broward Public Defender Howard Finkelstein, and he said that this recast criminal courts – as being something other than about determining guilt or innocence. He said this, quote, "The purpose of criminal justice is to determine the guilt or the innocence of the accused and the appropriate sentence. It's not a balancing of rights between victim and defendant." Also, another person we spoke to was Deputy Director of the American Civil Liberties Union, Florida, Melba Pearson. On this program a couple of weeks ago, she's also against it, but here's what she had to say.
The Florida Constitution, as it stands right now, has a very robust victims' rights section. Victims have the right to be heard. They have the right to be present in all stages of the proceedings, whether it be the filing of charges, arraignment, trial, every aspect of trial, as well as sentencing. They have the right to be informed on what is happening with the case. So this constitutional amendment does not change anything from that perspective. But what it does do, it does give corporations the same footing as human victims. So in other words, you can now have corporations coming into criminal proceedings with high-priced lawyers trying to dictate how the criminal justice process should go.
There are 2 points here I want to ask you, Tim Serio.
Sure.
The one that both Finkelstein and Pearson are saying is, we already have enough on the books in Florida law. This isn't necessary. What's your take on that?
Absolutely not correct. And to call the process that we have now robust is just that's just factually inaccurate. I mean, the whole point, when we went around the state of Florida, we heard from victim after victim, victims' families, that they are not getting the opportunity to be heard. They are not getting notice of these hearings. I will say this, Ms. Pearson is correct in the sense that many things that Marcy's Law is placing into the Constitution of our state are in statute, and they are consistently not enforced. That is why we have 10 state attorneys, one of whom, Catherine Fernandez Rundle, is the state attorney where Ms. Pearson was an assistant state attorney. That's why they have endorsed Marcy's Law, because the system – I'm not blaming the judges or the prosecutors or the defense attorneys, but the system is failing because of – I mean, it is just an overwhelmed system right now. And there's got to be something when you put the, when you put these rights in the Constitution – that, along with an ability for the victims to enforce those rights, which Marcy's Law does, it allows a victim or their families to go to the court to say, I'm not getting the notice I'm supposed to have. That's a game changer. That is not what's happening now.
And what about the second point that Ms. Pearson brings up, that now this can help protect corporations?
That is another criticism, and let me, if I could speak to that specifically, Lewis, and then make a more general comment. That is a criticism we've heard, and it's from opponents of Marcy's Law in general. It's very difficult. It's a very popular measure, and to say that it's going to protect corporate defendants, I will say this: a mom and pop operation is it can be a corporate defendant, whether it's a limited liability company. My in-laws owned an independent pharmacy in Sarasota. They were robbed at least a dozen times in 20 years. And if Marcy's Law did not allow victim – you know, the law recognizes that a person can be a company. If it didn't allow these entities that are incorporated to be treated as victims, they would have no ability to participate or to be informed. And look, I'm sorry. If there is a, you know, if there's a Home Depot and, you know, that's robbed at gunpoint and you know, and some of the workers there are injured, to say, well, you're a big company, you have less rights. I mean, the company ought to be able to you know, to have notice when they've had workers harmed or they've been hurt. But really, this is geared toward the mom and pop operations, like my in-laws who suffered and experienced these things.
Before we finish up here, I wanted to ask
Sure.
you, the Florida Supreme Court obviously is still looking at, you know, because there were challenges to some of these bundles, some of these amendments,
right.
actually.
Right, right.
I mean, if they decide to take that off, first of all, how does that impact early voting?
Well, it will be very difficult. I mean, my prediction is that the Supreme Court will uphold what is still on the ballot, that these will move forward, but it would absolutely throw a monkey wrench into things. I mean, they just, you know, if a proposal is removed, then the votes for it or against it, you know, will be nullified. It won't matter. But you know, I do think that what's on the ballot is going to remain on the ballot. And you know, again, I just – if I could though, Lewis, keep in mind too, when you're talking about victims' rights, I do want to say this. For many, it's a zero-sum game, and I don't – I'm not criticizing. I have many friends on the defense side who are criminal defense lawyers, but some dear friends. And I've done some criminal defense work. And there's – for many, there's a school of thought of every opportunity for a victim to speak is not good for their client. Okay, it's not good for them. So if you are a zealous – either you're a criminal defense lawyer or you're a zealous advocate for the accused, I'm not saying that's wrong, but many are just opposed to any input from victims. And I'm just saying, as a policy, I hope the people of Florida think that a more balanced approach is appropriate, and that victim input at particular stages under the governance and oversight of a judge is the right thing to do.
So let me finish with this. The Tampa
Sure.
Bay Times editorial department recently came out and said – voters should only vote yes on Amendment 4 and no on everything else. Now, that's their take on it. But and I know
Sure.
that you just talked about that you're fighting for Marcy's Law. But, you know, how do you feel about, you know, right now, really the conversation on all of these different, you know, ballot amendments that people are going to have to pick from?
I think what, you know, look, it is – there's been a lot of time, a lot of work put into this – into these proposals by many folks on the CRC, but we knew what we were getting into. And I trust the people of Florida to do the right thing. And if we've got to do a better job of getting out there in the little time we have left to explain about the bundling, to explain, you know, the particular provisions, I'm happy to do that. I know I've got some other CRC, some of my other CRC fellow members are happy to do that too. That's on us, and the people of Florida at the end of the day will have the final say.
And again, Amendment 4, is because I just mentioned that's the one that they were going with, is that's the one, of course, reinstituting voting rights for former felons.
Right.
Tim Serio, member of the Constitutional Revision Commission. Again, this is a group that meets every 20 years to review Florida's Constitution. They propose new amendments. There are 12 that are on the ballot for this November. He joined us again from the studios of WFSU in Tallahassee. Tim, it's always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lewis. Really appreciate it.
All right, still to come, we're going to hear a conversation with actress Alyssa Milano, who's fighting alongside the students in Parkland who want stricter gun laws. That's coming up next here on Sundial on WLRN.